Okay, well, good evening, and we're going to start and see if we can keep everybody awake. Something about those Mondays. Okay, well, great. We're nearing the last stages, the last classes of the first year, so we're excited about that. Just also want to make everyone aware that during the graduation ceremony, the first year and second year students take the honor of honoring Apostle and First Lady Carolyn Thompson, Mom Thompson. So I don't know if Pastor Walker may have mentioned it to you already or not, but that's something we do. We honor them with a seed in online students as well as those on campus. We come together and we put our monies together. And we just honor them with a gift of love. And also the instructors come together and we do it as well in our group, along with the alumni. They also honor Dad. So if it continue normal, then someone from the first year student class will present it, as well as the second year. We also present the gift to Mom and Dad Thompson during the graduation ceremony. So I'll talk with Dr. Walker and make sure that we get this on the rolls so we can get the contributions together, the love gifts together, so we can present that to Apostle Thompson and Mom Thompson. So we'll work on that. Online students as well, keep that in mind, and we'll make sure we get the information out. Normally, we'll send out texts and those type of things to make sure everybody get it, so we'll know where we are and how much we're desiring to contribute. Okay? All right. So tonight, on page 173, we'll pick up dealing with conflict and confrontation, the goal of conflict, why it's healthy for the body of Christ, and why we must not resist confrontation, but accept it as a way of bringing change, bringing light to one who may have forgot his past or himself or herself, so we can come to truth and so we all can continue in the culture of honor by being a free people, and that every person in the culture has to take full responsibility of his liberty, of his freedom. No one is going to watch over you. No one's going to ride around and take notes, and there'd be an FBI, a CIA checking you out about your life. No, you got to be held accountable yourself. The Word of God says keep yourself. So you have to be able to keep yourself and be responsible for any decisions you make, for every decision you make. And so it's very important that we understand that we're in a free culture. No one can make you stay at a local church. And that's the hard thing that the author was talking about. One of the hardest things is about to lead free people who has the power of choice. Okay? And so, and because people have a power of choice, sometimes if you're not careful in leadership, it'll make you compromise your value or God's word to keep them where you are. Okay, and so that becomes a challenge a lot of times to leadership, because people have a free choice. They can go to any church they want to go to, come to church this Sunday they want to. They don't want to come, they ain't got to come. You can't make no one do it. They must choose only from themselves by conviction and love for God to obey the things of God. Okay, and so it cannot be forced on nobody. And so leadership has a challenge to get people to fall in love with God to the degree of commitment and dedication, mm-hmm. where they do these things freely as a way of life. Yes, sir. Not just a Sunday event, just to say I went to church or I have to go to church because it's Sunday. No, it's a lifestyle. Amen. That's right. This is who we are. This is what our culture does. Amen. You know, and so until we come to that concept, we always have those stragglers who have not matured, has not made that full commitment to follow God in the fullness. And so you always have those people who would not be totally committed to be on a Bible study or prayer service or church service every Sunday. and you can't get mad with them and just jump down their throat every time because they don't do it. You know, they have to come to the place they recognize that God is my source. I love God. And because I love God, I'm going to honor and do what he tells me to do and follow the man of God. And that's where we got to come. So we just got to love them and pray for them and believe God for them to come to that place, a level of commitment and loving God. Okay. In our second paragraph on page 173, this is our number one question as well. It says the greatness that resides at the core of every believer must come forth if we are to truly represent our Father in heaven. The core of every believer must come forth if we are truly going to represent Father God. And this is very important because of the fact Apostle mentioned tonight about our identity. About our identity. And it's very important. We have to get to the place where it's no longer I, but him. It's no longer I, but him. And he was telling us about Apostle Paul, who got to that place of no longer that I live, but Christ that live in me. That's the point where we got to come, where I no longer have an agenda. I no longer have an agenda. And when we have an agenda, that's when we have a back door, a back channel to get out of commitment and dedication and loyalty to the things of God, is because of the fact we really have not come to a full persuasiveness. There's no longer me. It's not about what I want or what I feel. It's about what God says. And so Apostle mentioned again tonight another word, truth. Until we come and line up with truth instead of dealing with feeling or trying to find power, line up with truth. It's truth that sets us free and that delivers us. And this is the thing that we come to understand. Until we come to that true identity of who we really are and the true values of who we really are and who we are called to do, we cannot fully represent the Father. Amen. We cannot fully represent him. Amen. Okay? He goes on to say, so that's number one. He goes on and says, putting on the cloak of shame and guilt is not only becoming for us as his sons and daughters, it is a trap of powerlessness. When we had to put on facades and fake it, he says it's a definite trap of powerlessness, because we're living a lie. We live in a place of dishonor. Okay? But God wants us to be real. In order for it to be real, we got to get to the core of our heart, our belief, and our persuasion about our relationship with Father God, our relationship with God. And once we come to the fore, recognizing that I am nothing without God, Paul came to that revelation, says, I can do nothing without him, and without him we can do nothing. Once you come to that revelation and enlightenment, you realize that you have to empty all. You have to empty all in order to be full of all of him. To be full of all of him. And that's where we come to the place where I don't have to live in shame or guilt. You know, and even if I err, I'm not going to live with shame and guilt. Amen. Because I know my identity with my Father. Yes. That the Father loves me. Yes. He loves me. And because he loves me, and that was his choice. Mm-hmm. It was his choice to love me. Yes. You know, wasn't my choice. I didn't make him love me. Yes. He chose to love me. That's right. To love me. And because he loved me, if I go to him, he's going to forgive me. Yes, and I don't have to come with my head hanging down. And because I made an error in figuring people are judging me because they may have figured out what I've done or know what I've done. Right. No, I come back in the room like I'm brand new, like I was when I first got saved. That's right. You know, with no guilt, no shame. Absolutely. No, God loves me. Amen. And I have to understand that love is so genuine and so perfect. You know, I was thinking about it coming that in John 3:16, the Bible says, for God so loved the world. God chose that. The world didn't qualify. Wow, yes, sir. So he chose it on his own to cut a covenant with himself. Yes. That he loves us. And so we have to understand his love is greater than any sin that we can commit. Amen. His love is greater than that. Amen. And we can come to Father at any time in our acts of repentance and forgiveness, and we're going to receive it. and we're going to receive it. Okay, so number two is continuing the next sentence, reaching in and grabbing our people by their true identities is an act of love that will live on for longer than the sting of failure or consequences. Reaching in and grabbing our people by their true identity, and this is where Apostle is trying to drill that hole in us, dealing with the message, the I amness of God, so we can get our identity straight. We get our identity straight, because once we identify who we really are in Christ Jesus, we realize that there are no limitations. There are no limitations, and there's no failure that Father God can't bring us up from and deliver us out of in a situation. So many people go through error, and they, instead of coming to him, they go the opposite way because of guilt and shame. And they dig deeper holes in their life, making more and more mistakes, and getting farther and farther away from God, and finding farther and farther to find forgiveness because of their error. When just being honest as a Christian, I don't have to be shameful. If I error, I'm wrong. I did it. I done it. It's just simple as that. I messed up. I blew it. I was following my flesh and my soul, and just didn't follow the Spirit, and I messed up, and I need your forgiveness, and let's go on. Let's go on. You know, let's move forward. And that's where you got to deal with it. Okay, so that's number two, is reaching in and grabbing our people by their true identity. It's an act of love that will live on for longer than the sting of failure or consequences. He also going to say, people can see and think when their identity is clear of fear and shame. That's number three. People can see and think when their identity is clear of fear and shame. When they know that you're not going to beat them down, that you're going to show them compassion when they're going through whatever they're going through, they don't have to fear it, because they know the atmosphere and the culture is a culture of love, it's a culture of respect, it's a culture of honor and trustworthiness. Once people know that, they realize that whatever I'm getting ready to bring to the table, I realize you're not going to condemn me. There may be some consequences, but you're not going to condemn me. Whatever instruction you're going to give me is going to be constructive and criticism. It's going to be something that's going to build me up and help me to make a better decision and come to enlightenment so I can move on with my life. Once they know that, man, they'll come to you with all kind of stuff, because they know the atmosphere is not a condemning atmosphere. And so we're building a culture of honor where our churches are full of free people who are responsible for their actions and their decision, and who's willing to take on the responsibility. If I mess it up, I know I got to be accountable. Yes. Amen. I don't have to skip church and don't pay my tithes and be out of church 6 months before I come back. Amen. You know, and all this kind of stuff. I'm not going to get put out the choir and sat down. You know, because we bring all these judgments. To bring correction to people, and just dealing with truth, and let truth become the medicine or the anointing oil that we pour in the wound, that they can recognize error and come to accountability and grow from it and mature from it and make changes in their life. Okay, he said again and again, he says, we have seen the greatness of those who have made mistakes take charge and work evil into good. And right along with this, we see our covenant relationships strengthen and deepen. You know, sometimes people, when they don't realize what they have and who they really are, sometimes it takes them bumping their head against a wall or their door by making mistakes to come to revelation or enlightenment, to really realize the true value of who they are and what they possess. Right. You know, sometimes you don't realize what you have until you lose it. Right. And then you compare it, get something else and compare it to, like, oh, I wish I'd stay where I was. You know, this ain't, you know. And sometimes people have to come to that revelation that just because grass is green on the other side, you got to still stick, you still got to cut it. You know, you still got to take care of it. You know, so some people don't realize that until they lost everything. Wow. You know, and so some people don't realize that going through some things sometimes cause people to be strengthened and learn the true value of what they do possess and what they do have in their life. Okay, so here's number four. This is our new goal in confrontation. I think I shared this with you guys already, but I'm gonna give it to you again. This is our next goal in confrontation is to extend an invitation to strengthen a relationship bond with someone. This is our next goal in confrontation. It's to strengthen or to extend an invitation to strengthen a relational bond with someone. Okay, so that's number four, but let's read down. He said, we must see the process of bringing an issue to the light as an invitation to practice our covenant relationship. We must see the process of bringing an issue to the light as an invitation to practice our covenant relationship. Now, this is valuable. This is valuable because the bond and strength of any relationship, whether it's pastor and sheep, husband and wife, friends, friendships, even family relationships. When we cannot confront each other when things are in error, when there's an error and we cannot confront each other because of the error, then our relationship is not genuine. It's not genuine. When I cannot bring, when I see you in error or in offense, and bring that issue up to you, and you get offended by it, and you take my phone number out of your phone, and you don't call me and in a week or a whole month because you got mad because I brought an issue to the table. That means our relationship is not that valuable. You don't value the relationship because it cannot be a true relationship until we can see eye to eye on any issue that we're open for correction and instructions, because our relationship is valuable enough that I can allow you to speak into my life.
Right.
Because you place value to me. Because you're in my relationship, I'm in a relationship with you, that's valuable to me.
Right.
Because can't everybody step this close?
Amen.
You know, can everybody step that close? So therefore, if I invite you in that circle, that means that's valuable to me.
Right.
And so therefore, I give you permission to speak into my life.
Right.
So whatever I'm doing wrong, if I'm being arrogant about something or just prideful about something, or I'm misstepping in some kind of way, then I need you as my relationship friend, husband, wife, whatever relationship it is, I need you. I give you the power to talk to me.
Right.
Don't let me hurt me.
Right.
You know, friends don't let friends drive drunk. You know, and so you don't let me drive my life in the blind, knowing I'm in error, and I'm walking in a way that's going to destroy me.
Right, right.
Whether it was my attitude towards somebody else, or how I handled a situation, if I didn't handle it right, just pull me to the side and say, you know what?
Amen.
You know, I love you. You know I love you, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when you handled that situation, that wasn't right.
Amen.
You was way out of line with that. You need to fix that.
Mm-hmm.
If our relationship is genuine, then you're gonna accept correction.
Yes, sir.
Maybe think about it for a second, but accept correction and go back and do what you got to do to straighten that mess out.
Yes, sir.
You see, that's the strength of a relationship, when I can deal with confrontation and bring stuff to the table to you.
Mm-hmm.
If I can't do that, then we had no value.
Amen.
We had no value. Iron sharpens iron.
Yes,
okay? It says here, he continues to say, it may appear that our priorities in selling a matter are changing behavior. But in reality, kingdom confrontation, this is number five, kingdom confrontation is a test of the covenant between two or more people. Kingdom confrontation is a test of the covenant between two or more people. Can our relationship stand the weight or the pressure, the weight or the pressure of truth, of truth. And if you can build a relationship based on truth, then you got something valuable. When I can stand to be told the truth. Because truth goes against my feelings sometimes. Or my ego as a man, it goes against it sometimes. When I know she's right and it just hurt to say you right, you know, that's ego. That's ego. But men deal with that. We deal with that. You know, we'll go 2 miles around the corner and come back, but we're going to go around that corner because, you know, but that's what we got to learn to deal with relationship. You got to be able to stand the weight of being corrected. No, Paul says in Timothy, he says that the scripture is good for instructions in reproving and correction. In correction. So therefore, in the spiritual aspect, I have to be willing to accept Apostle Thompson as my spiritual dad and for him to correct me. Amen. Correct me. You know, I'm a pastor of a church and you tell me I can't do this? Yep, that's what I'm telling you. It's not right because I have experience, I have encounter, I have years of experience, and I can see where you're going. It's not going to take you where you really want to go. And so you have to be able to accept my leadership and my correction about what you're doing, even though you're a pastor. You see, and you have to be able to do that because he's done that. You know, I'm in a training session, and I'm going on every night. He called me and said, Calvin, what you doing? I said, well, Lord told me about such and such. Shut that down. Yes, sir. Okay, I'm doing it right now. I'm doing it right now. And that's what I did. That's what I did. Because you can't follow without following. And you cannot follow without honor. So when he says something, it is whatever he says it is. You know, but you have to have a relationship. You have to have a relationship and respect for leadership in order for that to happen. Okay, and so that's the same thing we're dealing with relationship, when we're dealing with confrontation. Here with number 5, that the kingdom confrontation is a test of the covenant between two or more people. And sometimes it's a strong test. And you have to be able to accept that. You know, mother and children does it all the time. Because we bring correction to our children all the time about what they're doing. You know, and so they have to be able to trust our leadership in the weight of our relationship. Okay, he goes on and says here, he says, when we hold other people, I love this. This is number 6, and this is where we're cut off with the questioning. Said, when we hold other people accountable for how they are impacting us or the community around them, we expose the level of trust we have with those individuals. When we hold people accountable, because how they're affecting the relationship, how they're affecting the community that we're in our culture, you know, we have to hold people accountable. We don't hold people in condemnation, but we do have to hold them accountable. Yes, Apostle mentioned tonight about this, he said, I don't want comfort, I want conviction. I want to know God. I want to know I'm right with God. You see, and that's what you got to understand is, I don't want you to make me comfortable by being your friend. I want you to help me become better, add something to our relationship that's going to improve me, okay, and that's going to make me a better person. And that's the thing we got to understand about covenant relationship, kingdom relationship. It's not about condemning. It's about bringing something to light, and it's also about exposing what's causing this to happen in your life, what's causing it to happen in your life. Okay, he goes on. Let's continue. He said, when we, page 174, excuse me, when we test the connection between us through confrontation, we learn the true strength of our covenant with another person. Mm-hmm. So too often we find weak, frail connections when we confront. Sometimes it is shocking how little value people have for their relationship with us. Other times it simply validates what we thought and hoped was there. You see, if you really want to know what you got, deal with confrontation. Confrontation. Apostle in his training taught us, He says sometimes you have to test people in order to find out certain things. Because certain people have a surface relationship where the surface is so smooth that it looks like it's a flawed relationship. I mean, it's like a perfect relationship, like there's nothing hidden, everything is in the open, but it's just a surface relationship until you begin to test them by doing something that's irritable and see how they respond to it.
Right.
You see, and you're testing that person on purpose just to pull out something that you thought was hidden that they did not show up to you.
Wow.
And sometimes that's the way it is in ministry. You have to just nag somebody just the wrong way just to see if they're gonna act up on you. To see if they're gonna act up on you. You know, and then you realize that they do have issues.
Right.
Because everybody has something.
Right.
You know, but some people put on this facade like they're perfect. You know, I sometimes if you're up at night sometimes and going through these channels on television, you find they got this makeup stuff you just spray on and it give you this look like your skin is just perfect.
Yeah,
yeah. Until everything starts happening, you realize, you know, there's a couple of bumps up under there I didn't see. But the idea is people do the same thing. Relationships, they want to pretend that they don't have no underlying issues. But if you put what he's going to talk about in a second, when you put pressure on it through confrontation, you realize what's been at the bottom come to the surface.
Right.
Do they have anger issues? Mm-hmm. Do something and see if it's going to tick them off.
Right.
You'll find they got anger issues. You know, so it's testing the water to find out if it's really real.
Mm-hmm.
If it's really real. You know, so those type of things. I learned some of these things in by teaching relationships and courtship. I teach people sometimes. You know, if you want to know if a woman's if she's single, and y'all single, y'all courting each other. If you really want to know whether she's a clean person, show up to a place without calling her. You know. And you're going to just inspect and see if she's clean. You know, because if you're calling me over for dinner, of course you're going to clean your house. You know, but if I come over unexpectedly, then we see whether you're clean or not. Whether you do leave dishes in the sink and all this kind of stuff. You know, so it's doing things, testing the water to see if it qualifies. If it qualifies in your life. And that's the way relationships are tested and proven. Whether these people qualify to be your mate, you got to test the waters. You got to test the waters and see if this is who you really want. Okay? Same thing in ministry, same thing in relationships. It's the same thing. You got to test it and you'll prove it. Okay? He says here in the next paragraph, he says, trust is the key to a successful confrontation. Now, I want you to go ahead and underline that or mark that because that's going to be number one in our next class teaching. He says, without it, we will discover our limitations quickly. Without trust, we will discover our limitations quickly. If and when we find a confrontation not going well, the first thing to check is the trust level. Yes, the trust level. That's it. All relationships are built on trust. If there's no trust there, it's no relationship there.
Mm-hmm.
That's the tested thing. And that's the thing that when we're talking about a culture of honor, we're talking about everybody being free to take responsibility for his or her own action. Nobody's going to be watching over you. You know when you left his house, you was married.
That's
right. So I don't have to leave my job to come watch you and sit in the parking lot and see what you're doing. No, you knew that when you left here, you know, and the same thing, you know, you knew you were a Christian when you got up this morning,
right.
You know, so that goes through the whole day. This is who you are.
Right.
You okay? And so this is supposed to keep you by you knowing your identity.
Amen.
It's supposed to keep you and you're supposed to walk according to that.
Amen.
And so that's a trust level that's there that God trusts us. God's trust level is so valuable and so worthy of honor that he trusts us to pay our tithes. He never, our pastors never get our check stubs and all check us out or whatever. See, did we really make this week, whatever? God trusts us on an honor system that we're going to give the tenth every time we get an increase. We get a blessing. He trusts us with it. Uncle Sam don't, but God do. And he's supposed to be our uncle, but he don't even trust us. But, you know, he take his off when we get paid. We get ours, you know. But it's a trust system. It's a trust system. And so without trust, we will discover limitations very quickly. Okay? He says, when trust is low, he continues on and says, when trust is low, anxiety is usually high. When anxiety rises, our priorities in the encounter shifts to self-preservation. This is where we get also the spirit of the word suspicion from. When you become suspicious of a person, that's mean I'm really procrastinating in the relationship. I don't really fully trust you because I have some issues that I'm not so secured about. Okay, about the relationship. So this is what causes, again, the word suspicion to go on. And so what people do in suspicion, they start investigating. They start looking for stuff to prove their idea or their feeling is correct. It's correct. It's the spirit of suspicion. And so this is what causes when our trust value is not there, then our confidence in the relationship or our trust levels are lowered. Or Lord, but our defenses goes up. Our defenses, our statements are sharp. It's not that loving conversation, nope. Maybe, I don't know. You know, it's not sharp. Why? Because I'm trying to avoid opening a door of freedom with you because I'm suspicious of you. You see, when people are free, there's no stagnation. Oh, they're just talking all day. They're just going freely. But when there's something there, it's very sharp. Yeah. It's very sharp. It's a yes, no. I don't know. How was your day? It was okay. It's just that sharp. I ain't got nothing to say. Wow. Why? Because I'm suspicious of you. And the same thing in relationship of ministry and everything else. When we're suspicious of people about sharing information, whether it's going to be secured or not, then we're very limited on how we communicate. Because we're suspicious of the trust levels not being there. The betrayer is there. So that's what happens in the community of the culture. That's why we build a trust level. We deal with honor. We deal with reverence or respecting each other or respecting the fivefold gifts or graces. We respect those all. Then we respect our brothers and sisters because we're in a free culture. We're in a free culture, and everybody got to be responsible for his or her action in the culture. So the trust level got to be there in order for us to stay free. If there's no trust, then we'll start dealing punishment. Then when we start pulling rules, the book out, we start building gates and walls in our lives because of trust values that are broken. Okay, self-preservation, we resort to that. He said, usually by means of seeking to control each other. And that's what started happening. Self-preservation, now control started happening. If we have someone in front of us who believes that he has to protect himself from us, then we will not be talking to him, to his greatness, but instead to his great survival tactics. That's where we go there. Okay, to have trust, the person we confront must believe that we are for him or her, and will protect his or her best interest throughout the confrontation. When we're dealing with issues, they must know that the best interest is why we're here. We're not here to hurt you. We're not here to injure you. We're not here to punish you. We're here to help you. And the only way to help you is that we must find out certain information or details why this keep happening to you. Why you act the way you act. You see, we got to discover that. If we don't discover that, we can't resolve the issue.
Right.
We're going to continue going on the same mountain over and over again until we deal with the true issue. Not the surface issue, the hidden issue. What's in your heart? What's in your heart? What's in your spirit that continue to cause you to do this every time? Okay? And that's the thing, again, when we're dealing with our culture, we're dealing with relationship, we're dealing with pastoral and ministry, we're dealing with business, you have to sometimes get to the issue, the core issues of people's spirits or their souls, why they do what they do. Why some people never grow in ministry. Why some people never mature in ministry. Okay? Why, it got to be an issue there. It got to be an issue there. And so because it is the heart of every pastor and every apostle is to bring forth a offsprings. We did the scripture tonight dealing with offsprings, you know, to bring forth a generation, a perpetual generation from that we can pour into, that this generation that's coming behind us is going to be better than our generation because now they know what we know. And they knew what the fathers knew before us. And we got all that information into you. The impartation is in your life. So now you should be a better person than me. Amen. Apostle tell all the time, it shouldn't take us as long as it took him to get where he is. Amen. But a lot of times is we're not learning the lesson. We're not learning the lesson. We got some issues. We got some issues. We're trying to build our house instead of building the outer work first. He said, build your outer house, the outer work first, and your outer house will build your house. No, build the vision, and the vision will build your dream. Yes. Yes. You see, it'll bring it to pass. Yes, sir. It'll bring it to pass for you. But sometimes we're so busy trying to build our agenda instead of going after our vision, you know, so it can build our agenda for us. We have some weight, some substance to sustain our vision and our dream. But most people, they do it backwards, and they realize, you know, they are failing to grow. They're failing to say, well, I'm giving and giving and doing this stuff. But why I'm not increasing? Why my finances not increasing? Why I'm not growing this area? There's some things you're not practicing. That's right. There's some things you're not practicing. Other things besides just giving. That's right. Are you loving? That's right. Are you forgiving? That's right. You know, the other values you got to work on in your life, because God is not going to bless us upon our sins or our losses. He's not going to do it. He said, you have not because you ask not. And when you do ask, you ask amiss because you want to heap up blessings on your sin. God said, I can't bless you with that. That's right. You know, so it's more than just sowing a seed, you know, or finances. It's having love in your heart towards your brother. That's right. And towards your fellow man. Amen. It's having love in your marriage, loving your children, not allowing evil or hatred to get in your heart. So it's more you got to practice the Christian life. As well as for financial prosperity that come in your life. So it's more to it. And so once we learn to deal with confrontation properly and healthy, to realize our goal is not to injure anyone, it's to bring out what's best for them and to go in there and dig and find out what's the root cause of why you're so bitter, why you're so angry, okay, why you have such resentment in your heart against people, or why you're such a person that hate other races. You know, why are you like this? What caused this to happen to you? Because you weren't born with it. It has to be a learned behavior or something you experienced in your life that caused that to happen. You see, and once we can begin to help people by being transparent, even the one who's doing the confrontation, he had issues before he got to this place. You see, so even the person who's counseling you isn't perfect. They was a sinner too. Amen. They had to deal with some issues too. But through time and maturity, God entrusted them with this place of authority. Amen. Okay, so I got to, when I'm dealing with people, I got to approach them that I live in a glass house. Amen. I don't have no rocks to throw, you know, because I'm not here to judge you or belittle you. I don't have no heaven or hell to put you in. None of that kind of stuff. I'm here to help you. And my life is transparent. I've been through some. I've done some stuff I'm still working on too. You know, God gonna help me get it right. Amen. So I'm here to help you. And so once people feel comfortable, they can confront, confide to you, the secret things, it's gonna be a beautiful confrontation. Because they know you got the best interest. Amen? Okay, my best interest, get off this line before it's too late. I got 25 seconds. Amen. Y'all have a blessed night. Yeah.